We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. This is text 14 through 15. We're making our way towards the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, and we'll be going through most of the 7th canto. Drishtva Mahad Bhutam Raja Ra Jasuye Mahakratau Vasudeve Bhagavati Sayujam Chedubhu Bujaha Tatrasinam Surarishim Raja Pandu Sutakratau Papracha Vismita Mana Muninam Shrinvatam Idam. O King, in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the son of Maharaj Pandu, personally saw Shishupal merge into the body of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, struck with wonder, he inquired about the reason for this from the great sage Narada, who was seated there. When he inquired, all the sages present also heard him ask his question. Shri Yudhishthira Vacha, Oho Atyadbhutam Yetad Dhula Bhaikantinam Api Vasudeve Pare Tatve Praptish Chaityasya Vidvishaha. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, it is very wonderful that the demon Shishupal merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sayuja Mukti is impossible to attain, even for great transcendentalists. How then did the enemy of the Lord attain it? Purport. There are two classes of transcendentalists, the Jnanis and the Bhaktas. The Bhaktas do not aspire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but the Jnanis do. Shishupal, however, was neither a Jnani nor a Bhakta, yet simply by envy of the Lord he attained an exalted position by merging into the Lord's body. Certainly this was astonishing, and therefore Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired about the cause for the Lord's mysterious mercy to Shishupal. Etad vedi tum ichchamaha sarva eva vayam mune bhagavan nindayaveno dvijhais tamasi patitaha. O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for this mercy of the Lord. I have heard that formerly a king named Vena blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all the Brahmins consequently obliged him to go to hell. Shishupal should have also been sent to hell. How did he merge into the Lord's existence? Dhammakosha Sutta Papa Arambhya Kalabhashanat Sampratyamarshi Govinde Dandavakrash Chadurmatihi. From the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dhammakosha. From the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dhammakosha, began blaspheming the Lord, and he continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantavakra continued the same habits. Shaptator Askrit Vishnum, Shapta Shapator Askritit Vishnum, Yad Brahma Paramavyayam, Shvitro na jato jihayam nandam vivashutastamaha. Although these two men, Shishupal and Dantavakra, repeatedly blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. We are certainly most surprised by this. Purport. Krishna is described by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita 10.12 as follows. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Aridevam Acham Vibhum, Ahustam Rishaya Sarve, Ardastata, Asito Devalo Vyaso, Shiva Brivishime. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode and Purifier. Herein this is confirmed. Vishnu yad brahma param avyayam. The supreme Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Vishnu, not vice versa. Similarly, Brahman is not the cause of Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Brahman. Therefore, Krishna is the param Brahman. Yad brahma param avyayam. Text 20. Katam tasmin bhagavati dura vagraya dhamini pashyatam sarvalokanam layam iyatur anjasa. How was it possible for Shishupal and Dantravakra, in the presence of many exalted persons, to enter very easily into the body of Krishna, whose nature is difficult to attain? Purport. Shishupal and Dantravakra were formerly Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. Merging into the body of Krishna was not their final destination. For some time they remained merged, and later they received the liberations of Sarupya and Salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord in the same bodily form. The Shastras give evidence that if one blasphemes the Supreme Lord, his punishment is to remain in hellish life for many millions of years, more than one suffers by killing many Brahmins. Shishupal, however, instead of entering hellish life, immediately and very easily received Sayuja Mukti. That such a privilege had been offered to Shishupal was not merely a story. Everyone saw it happen. There was no scarcity of evidence. How did it happen? Maharaj Yudhishthira was very much surprised. Etad brahmyati me budhir diparchir iva vayuna bruyetad adbhutatmanam bhagavan yatra karanam. This matter is undoubtedly very wonderful. Indeed, my intelligence has become disturbed, just as the flame of a candle is disturbed by a blowing wind. O Narada Muni, you know everything. Kindly let me know the cause of this wonderful event. Purport. The Shastras enjoin, Tad vignanartam sa gurum eva bigachchet. When one is perplexed by the difficult problems of life, to solve them, one must approach a guru like Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession. Maharaj Yudhisthira therefore requested Narada to explain the cause for such a wonderful event. Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha Ragnastad Vacha Akarnya Narado Bhagavan Rishihi Tushta Prahatam Abhashya Shrinvatyas Tad Sadakata. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing the request of Maharaj Yudhishthira, Narada Muni, the most powerful spiritual master, who knew everything, was very pleased. Thus he replied in the presence of everyone taking part in the yajna. Shri Narada Uvacha Nindanastava Satkara Nyakaratam Kalivaram Pradhana Parayorajan Avivekena Kalpitam. The great sage Sri Naradaji said, O King, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. Purport, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarva bhutanam mridera sharjuna tishtati ramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. A material body is manufactured by the external energy according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul, being seated on this machine, wanders throughout the universe, and because of his bodily conception of life, he only suffers. actually the suffering of being blasphemed and the enjoyment of being praised, the acceptance of a good welcome or of chastisement by harsh words are felt in the material conception of life. But since the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not material, but Sakchidananda Vigraha, he is unaffected by insults or greetings, blasphemy or prayers. Being always unaffected and complete, he does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy, because one who always thinks of the Personality of Godhead as an enemy also benefits, although he thinks of the Lord adversely. If a conditioned soul, thinking of the Lord as an enemy or a friend, somehow or other becomes attached to the Lord, he receives great benefit. Hinksa tad abhimanina danda parusha yor yata vaishamyam iha bhutanam mamaham iti partiva. My dear king, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Purport. Only when a conditioned soul accepts the body as himself does he feel the effects of chastisement or praise. Then he determines one person to be his enemy and another his friend, and wants to chastise the enemy and welcome the friend. This creation of friends and enemies is a result of one's bodily conception of life. Yannipado bimano yang tadvadhat praninam badaha tatana yasya kaivalyad abhimano kilatmana padasya dhamakarturhi himsa kinasa kalpyate. Because of the bodily conception of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all living entities. Because he has no material body, he has no false conception of I and mine. It is therefore incorrect to think that he feels pleasure or pain when blasphemed or offered prayers. This is impossible for him. Thus he has no enemy and no friend. When he chastises the demons, it is for their good, and when he accepts the prayers of the devotees, it is for their good. He is affected neither by prayers nor by blasphemy. Purport. Because of being covered by material bodies, the conditioned souls, including even greatly learned scholars and falsely educated professors, all think that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. This is due to their bodily conception of life. Krishna has no such bodily conception, nor is his body different from his self. Therefore, since Krishna has no material conception of life, how can he be affected by material prayers and accusations? Krishna's body is described herewith as Kaivalya, non-different from himself. Since everyone has a material bodily conception of life, if Krishna had such a conception, what would be the difference between Krishna and the conditioned soul? Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are accepted as final because he does not possess a material body. As soon as one has a material body, he has four deficiencies. But since Krishna does not possess a material body, he has no deficiencies. He is always spiritually conscious and blissful. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, blissful knowledge. Sakchidananda Vigraha, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, and Kaivalya are the same. Krishna can expand himself as Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart. In the Bhagavad Gita 13.3, this is confirmed. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarvashetrishu bharata. The Lord is the Paramatma, the Atma or Super-Self of all individual souls. Therefore, it must naturally be concluded that he has no defective bodily conceptions. Although situated in everyone's body, he has no bodily conception of life. He is always free from such conceptions. and thus he cannot be affected by anything in relation to the body, the material body of the jiva. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tanaham dvishvata kruran samsareshu naradaman shripam yajastram ashubhan asurasweva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. Whenever the Lord punishes persons like demons, however, such punishment is meant for the good of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, being envious of the Supreme Personality of God, may accuse him, saying, Krishna is bad, Krishna is a thief, and so on. But Krishna, being kind to all living entities, does not consider such accusations. A letter of Prabhupada was mentioning how when we distribute books, somebody buys the book. In Prabhupada's words, he said, walk away and he'll think, now let me see what this nonsense has written. And he said if they read one line, then they take 100 steps towards Krishna by reading from the book. Indeed, he takes account of the conditioned soul's chanting of Krishna, Krishna, so many times. He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them into lower species, but then, when they have stopped accusing him, they are liberated in the next life because of chanting Krishna's name constantly. Blaspheming the Supreme Lord or his devotees is not at all good for the conditioned soul, but Krishna, being very kind, punishes the conditioned soul in one life for such sinful activities and then takes him back home, back to Godhead. The vivid example for this is Vritrasura, who was formerly Chitraketu Maharaj, a great devotee. Because he had derided Lord Shiva, the foremost of all devotees, he had to accept the body of a demon called Vritra. But when he was taken back to Godhead, Thus, when Krishna punishes a demon or conditioned soul, he stops that soul's habit of blaspheming. And when the soul becomes completely pure, the Lord takes him back to Godhead. Vritrasura was Chitraketu. Chitraketu was a great king, and all kings want to have a son to pass the kingdom on to after they leave, but even though he had many, many wives, he could not have a son. And finally, by the blessings of Narada and Angira, he was given an opportunity to, after having a sacrifice, one of his queens bore a son, and it was the happiest occasion. Of course, he was warned ahead of time that the son would be Harshashok. It would be the cause of his happiness and also his great lamentation. And he thought, of course, all children have some aspect of causing happiness and some aspect of causing distress. This is nothing new. There's too much talking. It doesn't even mean so much. It's just going on and on. And so they conceived the son. Son was the source of happiness for the whole kingdom. The king and queen who had given the son were joyful. And then the rest of the queens noticed that they were not getting as much attention and they became envious, so they poisoned the baby out of a feeling of jealousy. So one day when the maidservant came and saw that the baby was lying with its eyes rolled up in its head, she wailed loudly, cried out that this is the end. And when the queen heard what had happened, she fainted. The king also came, and he would observe that his son was dead, and he would fall down in a faint, get back up again, and faint again out of misery, seeing that his son had died. So that's the exact time when the sages came back to impart knowledge to the king Chitraketu. And they induced the the soul to come back into the body of the little child. And said to this little baby, or the soul within the body of the baby, that you've caused such great misery to your parents. Why did you leave in an untimely way? And the jiva soul said, please forgive me. I've had many, many millions of mothers and fathers. I don't know which ones you're talking about, but I'm just passing through. And they spoke many words about the process of self-realization. This is at a time which we will call a teachable moment. These come in life sometimes in the times of our greatest frustration. We have a breakthrough, or at times of greatest anxiety or fear. If we're taking shelter of Krishna, then we can actually come to a higher level. We see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many instances when devotees were utterly despondent or depressed. Vedavyas himself had gone to his guru, Narada, complaining that I'm feeling despondent. I feel that I haven't done anything. I'm not getting any bhav. And Narada Muni instructed him, why? He saw the defect, and he told him that anything you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply agitates the mind. Like the wind agitates a boat on water that has no resting place. And he gave him instructions for describing directly the Personality of Godhead. Hearing this kind of Krishna katha is the cure for the material disease, bhavarog, which is the dread disease of the heart that keeps us in the material world birth after birth. Hearing about Krishna and his pastimes, vikriditam vrajavadur vir aham cha vishnur shradhanvito nashunu yadato varna yadya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashvapahinot yapcharena dhira. Shukadeva Goswami says later in the Bhagavatam that by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, playful pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan, one can attain the highest stage of bhakti. And the dread disease of the heart, this lust in the heart, can be dissipated by hearing this Krishna katha. So Srila Vyasadeva went into trance, and he, by the mercy of his guru, was able to see directly the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he came out of his samadhi, we get the description of Krishna, which we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is samadhi bhashya. So his frustration led to this breakthrough. Similarly, Chitraketu's anxiety and his great dread that his son had died and the sage's coming had led to his great enlightenment. And so Chitraketu became a liberated soul after that. And one day when he was riding in a celestial airplane, he was flying over a place where Shiva and Parvati were sitting, surrounded by some sages who were glorifying them, admiring them. But at that time, Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. And Chitraketu laughed out loud. He said, how is this? Such a great renunciate. There he is sitting with his wife. He just was bemused. And Parvati took exception. Who is this? I curse him to become a demon. So he had become, although he was a pure devotee, he took birth as Vridrasura. That's a long story also from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how he came to take birth in that way. Begins when Lord Indra is sitting in his assembly and he is being worshipped by all other great demigods. And his guru, Brihaspati, the guru of all the demigods, entered into the assembly. And Indra, sitting on his high throne, being worshipped, hearing his own glories, didn't get up to worship his spiritual master. He didn't get down from his seat. And Brihaspati immediately detected this this fault in Indra that he's not showing any respect. So as he walked in, he turned around and walked out, disappeared. And Indra, then his intoxication with material prestige broke, and he realized he had made an offense, so he got down quickly. The demigods felt a sense of doom because, as is explained in the section of the Bhagavatam, they had displeased their spiritual master, so they knew nothing good could come from that. So Indra went to offer his respects to his spiritual master, Brihaspati, but Brihaspati, knowing that he was coming, disappeared to teach Indra a lesson. And soon afterwards, because of displeasing Brihaspati, the demigods lost their power, and the demons were able to defeat them. And so the demigods went to Lord Brahma to ask what to do. And anyway, this is a long story which leads to the appearance of Vritrasura. But as it goes, Vritrasura, although born as a great demon, he was actually a devotee who had been Trichaketu in his previous life. And when Indra went to fight with him, many of the demigods and demons, they fled from the battlefield because of the power of Vritrasura. And Vritrasura had to convince them to come back and fight. He wanted Indra to kill him because he knew that by being killed by the weapon of Indra, which is a thunderbolt conceived and prescribed by Vishnu himself, which was created from the bones of Dadichi, by being killed by that, he would be liberated and go back home, back to Godhead. So he was trying to convince Indra to kill him. And when he was fighting with Indra, he swallowed him. Indra had become protected by the Narayana Kavacha armor, and therefore he didn't perish when he went into the stomach of Vritrasura. But he came back out after Vritrasura went into Samadhi, and he cut off Vritrasura's head with the thunderbolt weapon. It took him 1 year to sever his head from his body. After that, because of killing a devotee, he got some reaction, which he had to suffer. Anyway, these pastimes are all related and interrelated within the Bhagavatam, but we find that many of these are precipitated by some feeling of great anxiety or fear or loss. And so, in all circumstances, whatever emotion we have, we should be connected to Krishna. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti bhatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintitasya sadrishim tanumapurete govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Kam krodha, if one has anger, fear, lust, but he approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he gets some benefit because he's approaching the Supreme Pure. Even as Uddhava was describing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the merciful nature of Krishna, aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam. Oh, how wonderful it is that although Putana, who is a great demoness who came to kill Krishna, she's smearing poison on her breast intending to kill the infant Krishna, she was liberated because Krishna only accepted the aspect that she was coming to feed me milk. Who would take shelter of anyone else but this Krishna, he's asking, because he's so kind, he's so merciful. Karuna Sindhu. He's the ocean of mercy. So somehow or other, the Goswami says, one should fix one's mind on Krishna. Somehow or other, one should say Krishna's names or be in proximity with Krishna, because then we're in contact with the Supreme Pure. And I mentioned last night that Prabhupada used to count sometimes when people would write articles in the newspaper, how many times they said Krishna. And even the unfavorable article that came out in the San Francisco newspaper that had more Krishnas in it than the other one, that which is favorable, Prabhupada liked the unfavorable one better because it said Krishna more times. When people say Krishna, Krishna, and they become purified. Yes.
In the purport that you read, given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, he said that Krishna sometimes punishes his devotees to become a demon in one life, and then afterwards that a person gets liberated. But from the materialistic standpoint, if someone becomes, for example, a king of the king of many planets, so to speak, of Earth, no one would consider it as a punishment, really. It is more or like looking like a reward that he becomes such a powerful king and gets to control the whole thing. Although the title is demon, but that does... So that's...
Actually, in this section, he said he was referring to the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that I cast them into lower species of life. Mm-hmm. And because they had blasphemed Krishna, that they get the good effect of saying Krishna, although they're held down for some times until they can become purified. And then when they come back, they become liberated. It's sort of like being put into, if someone comes into town drunk, intoxicated, the local sheriff will grab them and put them in jail until they sober up, and then he lets them out again. So in that way, Krishna sometimes detains them, but the effect of chanting of Hare Krishna will be there.
Okay, but that was not, wasn't it not, I mean, that was it not with reference to the demons like Ravan, Dantavakra? Is it in further purport given in a different context?
Well, you have to. I'd have to see exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
But you know, as far as punishment and reward goes, these big demons were like Hiranyakashipu, and we have Ravana. They're setting the scene, the stage for the Leela, Hare Krishna, of Krishna to come and slay them in a way. And whether this is punishment or reward is answered in the later pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev, specifically in a section when Lord Nrsingadev is fighting with Hiranyakashipu, and it looks as if Hiranyakashipu might get the upper hand. The demigods were really afraid of Hiranyakashipu because he had become so powerful that everyone came and bowed before him. And just by moving his eyebrow, he would keep everyone under control. He had so much power from his tapasya and the benedictions he had been given by Lord Brahma. And they started to think that he had beat the system. The demigods, actually, because they're Sakama devotees, they had a little bit of doubt, actually. And even when Lord Nrsingadev appeared, he was fighting with Hiranyakashipu. And the demigods, when they saw that Hiranyakashipu had escaped from the grasp of Lord Nrsingadev, they were very much afraid, because then they thought, now he may win. And he's seen us watching and cheering on Lord Nrsingadev, and now we'll really be in trouble. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains in that section that sometimes the Lord will play with someone. It's just like a cat when he plays with a mouse. They don't just eat the mouse right away, but they play with it for a while. And so similarly, Hiranyakashipu was like the mouse and Lord Nrsingadev was the cat, and he was playing with him. So Srila Prabhupada says in that section that materialists sometimes look like they have the upper hand. The devotees may be poor or struggling materially speaking, and the demons who don't care for God at all may seem to be prospering and living in cities of gold and driving, I don't know, whatever kind of fancy car they drive and so on. But Prabhupada said, this is just like the mouse before it's being killed. There's just an interim time when he's let go to think that he's actually enjoying something. So this material so-called reward is not a reward at all, anyway. It's more entanglement in the material world. And it's just temporary. It's like the blink of an eye. It's taken away. It's all almost worse, because those who become prosperous in the material world think that they're happy and satisfied. And when it's all taken away, it's even a more bitter pill to swallow. Did that answer your question?
Maybe sort of, but I'm not sure whether I was able to ask the question that I really wanted. I don't know whether I understood the purport that you read earlier in the context. I'm not sure whether I understood the proper context.
He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them into lower species, but then when they have stopped accusing him, they are liberated in the next life because of chanting the Lord's names.
Yes.
Is that the section?
Yeah. In that section, I was actually referring to Dantavakra, because that is the subject matter there. That Dantavakra was blasphemed Lord Krishna, and then afterwards he merged into the body of Lord Krishna, and it is appearing like as if the Dantavakra was put into some inconvenient or some hellish life there, but he was a king right from his birth, and he was enjoying all the opulence of royal opulence. How is that a punishment? That is my.
It's not a punishment, but it's in the Leela. Krishna enjoys the Virya Ras, and to enjoy that, he sets the stage to fight with these very powerful kings who appear to be the most powerful in the world and well set and everything like that. So in the pastimes, for instance, of Lord Ramachandra, he fights against Ravana. Apparently, Lord Ram is like an ordinary human being. He's anything but ordinary, as we see. But still, it increases the drama. Maya javani kachanam ajnad hoksa jamavyayam nalakshase mudadrisha Nato natya duroyata. When Kunti saw all these things, she said, this is just a wonderful and amazing thing, how the Lord performs his pastimes like an actor on a stage. And this covering of Maya makes everyone think how this person's a very opulent demon, and then Krishna comes and then kills them. And he said, who can understand how you're acting on a stage? And the curtain of Maya, Yoga Maya, is covering over so people can't see. That's the Lord's potency, is Yoga Maya potency. How he sets up certain people so that he can then fight with them and cut them down. Yes, Rakshit.
Yes, also by material standards, it may appear that one has been placed in a position of a king. But then again, it depends on how the king is really to the subjects and others. Means if the king is demoniac in nature, as opposed to being like King Parikshit, who was very merciful, then externally it appears that one has been placed in a very elevated position by material standards. But by spiritual standards, that king would not get a high rating, would he? Because being demoniac or so in nature, this is what I understood, that one birth that was given was of a demon, yet a king, so why would it be punishment? That if the king is demoniac in nature, but still elevated, that spiritually he's not advanced.
Well, that's true, yes. In the play, in the Lord's Leela, we see sometimes people, demons, appear to get the upper hand, but it doesn't last very long. So it's not some kind of reward.
What was the question?
I'm not sure, actually. I wasn't exactly clear what your question was. It's something like, doesn't it appear that these demons are being rewarded by becoming great kings and having great opulence and stuff? Wouldn't it appear that, somehow this is a reward? Right? Something like that? Yeah. It's not a reward. It's a very temporary situation before they're cut down. Text 26. We're continuing with Canto 7, Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, leading up to the pastimes of Lord Nrsingadev. Tasmat vairanubhandena nirvairena bayena va snehat kamena vayunjat katanchin nikshate pratak. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Purport. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. This is not the regulative principle. Bhakti yoga means anukulyena krishnanun shilanam. One should serve Krishna very favorably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavorably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benedictions even to Shishupal and similarly inimical conditioned souls. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. The stress is given to the favorable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blasphemy of the Lord. It is said, Nindan Bhagavata Shrinvams Tat Parasya Janasya Va Tato Na Paitiya Sopi Yat Yada Sukritach Chutaha. One who hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he would be put into hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regulative principle, one should not be unfavorable toward the Lord, but always favorably inclined towards him. Shishupal's achievement of oneness with the Supreme Lord was different because Jai and Vijay, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Supreme Lord as an enemy for three lives and then return home back to Godhead. But they purposefully became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy, and even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly along with their inimical thoughts. Thus they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified, and thus one is delivered from material life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the word bhayena, which means by fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers, and fathers. But nonetheless, not caring for their relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear, but this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Shishupal. The injunction is anukul yasya grahanam pratikul yasya varjanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is punished. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, tan aham dvishata kruran samsareshu naradaman shripam ajastram ashubhan asurasweva yonishu. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably. Otherwise, he must be punished, at least for one life, to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says, in many ways, that one should not blaspheme the Lord through one's mind, words, or actions, for a blasphemer will go to a hellish life along with his forefathers. From the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into an ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into a family of asuras, in which there is every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. Lord Krishna further states in Bhagavad Gita 9:11-12, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Mudhas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mogasha moga karma no moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. Anything done by those who have taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled, mogasha. If these enemies try to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as karmis, or even if they desire to return home back to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Hiranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who is a great devotee. Therefore, by the grace of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipush chapi Bhagavan nindayatama vivakshur atyagat suno Prahlad hasyanu bhavataha. The conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service. For one's own benefit, one should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. This is not the way to achieve success. Everyone clear? Okay. Text 27. Yata vairan upandena martyastan mayatam iyat natata bhakti yogena iti me nishchita matihi. Please come in and make yourself at home. There's plenty of seats up front. And if you don't like a front row seat, then everyone else can move up and have a front row seat. Narada Muni continued, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards him. That is my opinion. Now, this is a feeling of a kind of, that pure devotees get this feeling. This is also expressed by Uddhava in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In his prayers of ecstasy, he mentions how he thinks that the demons are more fortunate than he is, because many of them died on the battlefield, and the last thing they saw was Krishna coming on Garuda to kill them. And he said, how can I attain such a blessed death? And this is a kind of a bhav that the pure devotees have. They feel like they're the lowest, and that even the demons are higher, and they see also how merciful Krishna is, and they see how he's giving out his mercy to everyone, including the demons. So this is a very similar thing, but this goes to the heart of bhakti, actually, that our intensity of concentration on Krishna is paramount to our advancement. Krishna bhakti ras bhavito mati kritam yadi kritopi labhyate tatalalyam api mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labhyate. This verse is given by Rupa Goswami, in which he says that one cannot get Krishna by just performing ordinary pious activities for millions of lifetimes. This is not the way that one can come to Krishna. There is one price to pay in order to achieve Krishna and to get his service, and that is one's intense desire to attain it. And this is described in the verse as laulyam, or kind of a greed. Has anybody ever felt this emotion of greed? Have you? You can admit it if you have. It's okay. Did you ever feel greed, or have you observed it somewhere? Not that you're greedy or something, but you might have observed it somewhere. Yeah? Greed. The kind of greed, it's like if you get one and then you want two more, and there's never enough, right? Greed. It's a matter of how we can observe it in material qualities, and in bhakti, actually, we're so close in material life, actually, to bhakti proper that it just takes a little adjustment, really. It's moving the equation over. Gyan is not so close. It's renunciation of the world. This is a false concept because it's not ours to renounce. It places us outside the purview of bhakti, actually. I renounce the world, I become a renunciate. This is absurd. You're not the owner in the first place to renounce it. And this idea of enjoying the material world is also thievery. And it's disgusting. But the life of the material life of acquisition and of a love between relatives and so on is closer to bhakti than is the idea of jnana and complete renunciation of the world. And this is expressed by Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of the Brahma Mohana Lila, in which he says, Kama ragadayastena, kama graha grihan grihan, kama griho nigadho, Krishna deva nutejanaha. He says, until someone has become a devotee of Krishna, then his attachment to family members is like foot shackles. His very home becomes a prison. And all of the material possessions simply hold one back. The slight adjustment is when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then everything can be used in the service of Krishna. And therefore, even these emotions, which are very intense, everyone knows how intense anger is, right? You can just absolutely lose track of everything else, including your welfare, or the fact that you might go to jail for the rest of your life. These things happen. People become angry, and they'll say something or do something out of anger that imperils their life, and that's it. They're changed forever. There's such a focus in anger, isn't it? That this is the one pointed thing. I'm going to do this now. I'm so angry. And greed leads people to do so many things which are beyond their normal capability, or what anybody would expect them to do socially. And so these emotions are being discussed here as the basis for bhakti, actually. These intense emotions, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti batsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhave. These are natural emotions that come from the soul. The soul's not a dense stone, but the soul's full of these kinds of emotions. And when these emotions are readjusted towards Krishna, the source of everything, then the intensity of them brings one to Krishna, brings one close to Krishna. This is the power of Krishna bhakti. So here, Narada Muni is giving this incredible statement that the demons, because of their intense hatred for Krishna, they're thinking of him all the time. And that what is the benefit, he's wondering, that they're getting? It's so great. Yes.
Mentioned that the king's Hiranyakashipu was given this portion of the king, but it was a temporary situation. It was like a punishment, or at least the temporary situation, not a reward. So sometimes it seems like services can also act against oneself if it's not done in the right attitude. We also had this Indra when he was getting the proprietorship, not like doing service, then it actually went to the extent of offending Krishna. So in our own services, how can we protect, not to have like they have the proper attitude while serving, not think ourselves to be a proprietor but just an instrument of being a servant?
The safest thing is to cultivate the mood of Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Api Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Offenses take place normally when we stray from this idea of great humility and of tolerance, and we begin to have some false prestige. When we make an offense in the course of our doing our service, if the intention is correct, then we will not actually offend. As a case when Govinda was taking care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was the normal course that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take his lunch prasadam, and then he would go and take a nap. And just afterwards, Govinda would give him a massage. And so one day when Mahaprabhu had taken his rest, Govinda came to give his massage, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying in the doorway. So there was no way that Govinda could come in without stepping over the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he put his chadar over the Lord, and then he stepped over the Lord's body. Certainly an offensive thing to do, but he did it because he had to come in and do his service. So he gave him this massage. But then he wouldn't leave, and Mahaprabhu stayed there sleeping in the doorway. When Mahaprabhu awoke and saw that he had not left to go take his meals, he asked him, slightly annoyed, "Why have you stayed so long?" And he said, I came to give you a massage. And Mahaprabhu said, "Then you came in, why didn't you leave?" And in his mind, Govinda didn't answer verbally, but in his mind he answered that, I could make an offense for the sake of serving you, but not for going out for my own sense gratification to take prasadam. So in that case, his intention was to serve. And therefore, if he made some kind of offense in the course of his service, that is not considered. What's considered is the attitude of the practitioner, and that becomes apparent to the Lord and everyone else. Somebody who has false prestige, it's like if someone eats something very spicy, like garlic, and they walk into the room and everyone smells that they just ate some garlic, right? It comes out from their pores. So false prestige and such, it also emanates from us, and that becomes offensive, odious. So we should always remain meek and humble. The question was asked oftentimes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Kurma, at his home when Vasudeva the leper came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu embraced him and made him beautiful. He was worried that now that I am healthy and beautiful, I will maybe become puffed up. And he asked Mahaprabhu how to avoid that, and he said, "You should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. Go on chanting constantly." And that requires to be in this mood of Trinadapi Sunichena. So we should be vigilant. We should be vigilant because at any time we can become comfortable, or we can become lazy or complacent, or we can become puffed up because of doing service. And always remind ourselves that we're the instrument, and that we're the servant of the servant of the servant. It's a safe position to stay in that, and not start to think, oh, I'm a great Vaishnava, I'm doing great service, then we'll certainly be corrected by our environment. By the Lord, we'll make some arrangement from within our heart to make us humble again. Better to stay down. There's a saying in Japan that the nail that sticks up always gets hammered down. So this verse, very fascinating verse, it has so much bhava in this verse. Narada Muni continued, by devotional service one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards him. That is my opinion. Purport, Sriman Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.205, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also thinks himself in such a humble way. Jagai madhai hoite mui sa se pratishta. Purishera kita haite vi se lagishta. I am a worse sinner than Jagai and Madai, and I am even lower than the worms and stool. A pure devotee always thinks himself more deficient than everyone else. If a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that the devotee is greater than she. Thus, Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him, just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. When Gopal Kumar went throughout the universe to find the most advanced devotee of Krishna, it was the natural tendency of each devotee that he met to proclaim that they were not devotees at all. Say, I'm not qualified, I'm not even a devotee. And then they would name somebody better than themselves. And in that way, through a hierarchy, Gopal Kumar went from one devotee to the next and would glorify them, and they would not accept that glorification. It is the natural quality of a devotee to have humility. This in the Bhagavatamrita is called dainya. Dainya means extreme humility. And in proportion to the advancement of the devotee, there's an ingress of this kind of dainya, or humility, in the heart of a devotee. Even though the most qualified, a person who's approaching the bhava stage, feels that he or she is actually in a low position. Even acting in very skillful ways and performing devotional service very proficiently, such a person thinks that I am not very qualified at all. So we see that when Narada went to the topmost of devotees, Ramya Kachidu Pasana Vraja Vidu Vargena Volkalpita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that there was no method of worshiping Krishna which was better than that which was enacted and conceived and enacted by the gopis of Vrindavan, who abandoned all sense of social etiquette and gave themselves to Krishna, even at forswearing their any kind of idea of position in society. They gave up everything for Krishna and became his maidservants. They're worshipped even by the great Bhishma. On his deathbed of arrows, Bhishma Dev remembers the gopis and what great devotees they were. They are glorified throughout the universe. When Gopal Kumar approached them as his final stop, after everyone had pointed to someone else, and finally he came to the gopis of Vrindavan, who were the most exalted of devotees, they proclaimed themselves to be not worthy and that everyone else was more advanced than they are. And they gave examples to substantiate that, and that was their actual feeling. So it's not that a person in the topmost position, like the gopis, will then think of everyone else as subservient or lower. But as in the material world, the tendency is for those who are the top dogs to think everybody lower and then to become puffed up in their position. But it's the opposite in spiritual hierarchy, that the higher one goes, the lower one feels oneself. There's sort of a negative progress that one feels oneself as a servant of servant. It doesn't mean that they become pathologically incompetent or in a way that they feel no self-esteem, pathologically a lack of self-esteem. No, they're very expert at every minute and attentive, but they have this feeling of being very lowly. And you can see it in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song Amara Jivana specifically, where he talks about being a fallen soul and relishes this feeling, this bhava of that I'm the most fallen, Krishna, please save me. Sanatan Rupan Goswami, when they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, "You've come to save the most fallen. Now please, if you examine everyone and you look at us, you'll find that we're the most qualified because we're the most fallen." And when we chant Hare Krishna, this is the gateway to success in chanting Hare Krishna. If I can muster this feeling that I am the most fallen, I have no qualification whatsoever. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivar Hatyabhidatum Vai Twama Kinshana Gochara. I become akinshan, that I give up any claim that I'm anything, that I have any standing, that I've been around a long time, I should know something, I have some special beauty or fame or knowledge or renunciation or something that makes me special. These things retract the mercy of the Lord. They block the mercy of the Lord and our ability to absorb it. And so if we feel akinchan, which means I'm helpless, I'm nothing, I don't have anything, I'm the lowest, and I'm simply dependent on Krishna, chanting in that state of mind and mood allows Krishna to give us full mercy. And this is a constant feeling of devotees who are advancing in devotional service and who are advanced in devotional service, that they adopt this mood. It's actually natural. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says we should cultivate this. Trunadapi sunichena. The grass is low. It's on the ground. People step on it and it just bends. And the tree is tolerant. It takes all kinds of abuse, but it keeps on serving everybody else. Tolerance like a tree, and it goes on serving. So the formula for success in life is being shown to us here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The intensity of emotion that is shown by these demons as they're meditating in hatred on Krishna. We should be so lucky as to have such emotion, but in a positive sense, to meditate on Krishna. And we should always keep ourselves in a lowly, humble position. Continuing, the essential point in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. How many hours a day?
24 hours.
How many hours do we get in a day?
24 hours.
We don't get 25? Does everyone get the same amount? You all get 24 hours, right? It's an amazing thing, actually, if you think about it. Everyone has the same amount of time every day, don't they? We all have the same amount of time. Sun rises, sun sets, we have the same amount of time. Now it's up to us how we adjust our life around the basic principles. Everyone has their own philosophy. And according to our philosophy, we'll adjust our life in a particular way. Because we vote with our feet. Where you go, that's your vote. I'm here. Okay, you don't have to say anything. You're here. You voted. You're here. You're somewhere else. If you go somewhere else, I won't name where else, but there are many other places you can vote for. Oh, you're here. Okay, I see. You voted for this place. So we have to adjust our philosophy, and that's what we're doing now. There are many devotees in Rag Marg, which is exhibited in Vrindavan, whether in Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras, all the devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Madhurya Ras are always absorbed in thoughts of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft that the gopis would not dare to keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breast a very hard place for the lotus feet of Krishna. Yet those lotus feet wander in the forest, which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is away from them. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts that Krishna, because of always playing and not taking his food properly, must be getting weak. These are examples of the exalted ecstasy felt in Krishna's service as manifested in Vrindavan. This service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse. Especially for the conditioned soul, Narada Muni recommends that one somehow or other be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. For that will save one from all the dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. Now, Srila Prabhupada also gave us a directive, and we see this in the life of other great acharyas like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that they were absorbed in spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness to others. This is another way to take this kind of anxiety, the kind of anxiety that Mother Yashoda feels. The mothers in the room, you know what it's like to be in anxiety that if your child eats or not, right? Mother Yashoda calls Krishna back before he goes to the forest several times, maybe sometimes 7-8 times, mentioned the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. As he's leaving with his friends to tend cows in the forest, she calls him back. Are you sure you got your lunch? Now you're sure you have it, right? Now you're not going to starve. She actually feels that, you know, that her heart is heavy when he's leaving for the day, and she's feeling this great anxiety. And when Krishna's a little baby, it's mentioned in the Krishna book how she's always worried that some, you know, there's a lot of dangers. There's monkeys, there's cows, and you see what happens. When Krishna gets off on his own, he wanders off and jumps in the lake, and next thing Mother Yashoda looks out and he's in the coils of a big snake. And he's dancing on the heads of Kaliya. They all died when they saw that. They were so struck with anxiety. So how do you get that kind of anxiety for Krishna in everyday life? How can you get that right away? Well, one way is by taking a responsibility in the mission of Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada told us this. He said, if you take this kind of anxiety on your head, for spreading Krishna consciousness, there are a lot of anxieties involved in when you take responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, right? Anyone who's taking responsibilities to help with the Krishna consciousness movement knows there are anxieties, and you can take them on your head. And right, Rakshit? Yeah, anxieties. Sometimes he stays up late into the night. I don't mind, but I hear from your wife how he'll come home, he goes to, you know, he works, he does everything else, and then he'll come home and he does his service until the wee hours of the night. And sometimes I see when he comes in to offer the scores, he's still tabulating to the last second. It's a volunteer. He's taking the anxiety on his own head. And so those who have taken this, the kind of anxiety as their life and soul, I'm doing this, I'm going to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. There's anxieties involved. There's all kinds of twists and turns and things that happen. This is Krishna anxiety. This is spiritual anxiety. It's not material. It's not the same as Donald Trump worrying about whether he's going to sell all the units in his Las Vegas hotel. Don't mind, Donald. We go way back. We're okay, you know. I still love you. I'm just using an example. And we're still waiting for that donation. But it's different. And that's the point. You see that the material world and the spiritual world are a reflection. And that's described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. How this banyan tree of the material world is a reflected tree, the real substance, the variety, the real anxiety is there in the spiritual world, and it's full of ecstasy. Even though it looks like the gopis are practically dead when Krishna leaves, he'll be back in 3 days, and every day they're planning for him to be back in 3 days. Every day they're planning for 100 years. When's he coming back? Crying constantly. Sometimes people look at bhakti and they say, I want to be like this. They're practically dried up and dead from crying. But they don't understand that within this is the highest ecstasy. This is the connection of souls. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. This eternal kinship with Krishna that's hinted at in the Brahma Samhita is this intense relationship with Krishna. It's only that level of perfection that completely satisfies the soul. And that's the destination of those devotees who are taking to the path of bhakti, to go to that relationship with Krishna. So to attain that, we have many duties to perform in this. We should feel anxiety, the burden of our sadhana, that the battle with the mind and senses every day. You can feel some anxiety there, right? We're living with our greatest enemies, these lust, anger, greed. These things are constant. What? You were going to say?
Yeah, it's just repeating the legging that you said.
Yes. Yes. So all this is meant to be channeled towards Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the process of devotional service. Then if I'm hearing this correctly, even if the demons attain perfection by their intensity of hatred for Krishna and thinking always how to kill them, if I simply transfer all my emotions towards Krishna in a positive sense, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam, then that flow of love for Krishna will awaken and I'll attain perfection of life. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna. Any comment or question or reflection? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class. Prabhuji, I'm wondering, is there a difference in the quality of the result? Like Sishupal and Hiranyakashipu, they entered the body of Krishna and that seems to be liberation. But devotees, they are not interested in that liberation.
Yes, there's a difference in quality. Of course, in this pastime, Jai and Vijay are playing the role of demons. And although they entered the body and appeared to have Sayuja Mukti, merging with Krishna, which is a kind of liberation abhorred by the bhaktas. They don't want to merge with Krishna because they lose their relationship with him. They only merged there temporarily and then they came back to their original post in Vaikuntha. However, we do find that there is a difference when the demons, in their absorption and anger and lust and things like that, there is a difference. Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto them, I reward them accordingly. We find that Putana, she was a demoness, and although she attained perfection, it was not, it was a kind of a mother, a motherly relationship that she attained in her liberation. But there are degrees according to one's level of surrender and the circumstances. And sometimes demons, they merge into the body of the Lord, which is which is not desired by the bhaktas. So it's very individual. It's not a stereotype thing, and it's based on one's particular intent and bhava. So there's a difference. Yes, Hansapriya.
You mentioned that one has in the distress condition, one has the, you know, the breakthrough and the realization comes during that period is pretty intense. However, that's good at it comes through, but then also it's forgotten so easily. So, how one can, you know, learn from that moment that can, you know, helps you to continue in your life with the building up the intensity of serving or taking the spiritual path more seriously.
Is it always that it's forgotten?
Depends. Not always, but most of the time.
Well, as we continue in devotional service, and we have this determination that no matter what happens, I serve Krishna no matter what happens. This is the attitude that brings us closer to Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he went to visit some residents in East Bengal after a cyclone had killed many people, it was a great disaster, and everyone said, you know, don't go to that area, it's too dangerous, there's cholera, there's things happening. But he went anyway to preach. And what was his main message when he went there? Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. That in any condition of life, even especially adverse conditions, I go on praying for the Lord's mercy, waiting. Like the chataka bird only takes the raindrops from the sky, won't drink water from the earth, won't touch it. And so we simply wait for that special kind of mercy. As we go on, there's a kind of fortification that takes place in the heart of the devotee throughout life, because these things will come and go. And when we stay steady to our and we keep our fidelity to Krishna in whatever situation, he'll reciprocate. And we begin to see his hand in our life. And that is a relationship. Relationships, love and trust develop over time. It's like when you're around someone for a long time and you see what they're made of, especially when they're under fire. That's when you really develop a respect for them, right? They didn't turn, run away. They stayed with you all night and, you know, mopped up the floor. There was a flood and, you know, they didn't go home. And then you start thinking, this person's really into it, you know. And whatever else happens, they're there. And, you know, Krishna puts us through many of these tests to see, you know, how serious are we? And if you're getting tested, it means Krishna's getting you ready for something. It's a life of preparation. So whatever it is, be determined and take the lesson from it by constantly thinking, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano, and that fortifies you. And you see it in yourself also, that how Krishna comes forward and gives you the strength to come through, and how he always comes through one way or the other. This is the devotees, the unalloyed devotees, they're always simply depending on Krishna. And look at it in Vrindavan. We see in Krishna's Gokula pastimes how demons are coming every day. It's frightful conditions. You know, forest fire comes and a whirlwind demon comes. And, you know, Indra brings his rains constantly. It's day after day. This is the actual, there's some adversity and they take shelter of Krishna over and over again. So this is how we move, by faith. You got to take faith. You have to take shelter somewhere. And, you know, in the material world, where do I take shelter? It's in money. I think I got money. I can buy my way out of this. If I get sick, I got enough money. I can go to the hospital. Whatever it is, these are all false soldiers. Shukadeva Goswami says, Deha Patra Kalatradeshu. But in our practice of bhakti, we rakshishyateti vishvaso, we develop this faith that Krishna is my protector. He's the one protecting me. And the more I can inch towards that, when I get the fortunate opportunity to be tested, and then I can practice taking shelter of Krishna and see that he is the only shelter, then I become solidly situated in that. And gradually, a lifetime of doing that means maturing in devotional service and coming to the point of always taking shelter of Krishna and nothing else. So if you're being tested, consider yourself fortunate. Not everyone gets that. Or if they do get it, they don't use it properly. If you use it properly and use it as a chance to dig deeper, you'll see. And, you know, Krishna is supremely independent. He can do whatever he wants. Lord Chaitanya prays like that. He says that Ashlishiva Paravatam Pinashtumam Adarshana Marma Hatam Kurotuva Yatatava Vitatulam Pato Mat Prana Natastas Eva Para Napara. Whatever you do to me, I'm still your maidservant. I'm still there. And this is there's this is the ultimate sweetness. You know, we're a dependent soul. He's the supreme autocrat. He can do whatever he wants. We realize that and take shelter of him and realize that he's all good also. There's nothing that can touch us in this world or any other world. The devotee doesn't care where he is. Narayana padaksarve nakutashchana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliana darshana. Devotee doesn't care for heaven or hell. Heaven or hell means these varying conditions in material life. Doesn't care anymore because he's got his center correctly taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet in all circumstances. That's the only safe position in this world or any other world, is to completely surrender to Krishna. So when you're being tested, take it as the greatest opportunity to practice this and take shelter of Krishna. A fighter who goes in the ring all the time and gets hit, knocked down, gets back up again, after a while they become tough. They know, the old veteran fighters, you know, they're in the ring and they know when the punch is coming, and you become tough. So fight it out and take shelter of Krishna. He'll protect you. So we're going to have a artik, and we'll have a play right after that. We have our professional drama troupe already outside, setting up on a professional stage. There'll be Ram Leela. So right after the artik, and we're going to have a string of prayers, and then we're going to go outside and we're going to honor this play that the kids have put together. And then right from there, we'll sing the prasadam prayers outside, and then we'll go and have prasadam. Okay? Thank you very much, everyone, for partaking of Krishna Katha from the Srimad Bhagavatam today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohanji ki jai, Gopre Manande Aribo.